Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio shows. This is the edition of Minister Associate Pastor Kimberly Horvath's Christian Life Coaching, and I'm going to bring her on the line right now. How are you doing today, my sister?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. No complaints whatsoever.
Awesome.
This is neat. We're doing this in the daytime. This is.
I know.
This is. Yeah.
I know. You're getting me with more energy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's begin and see what the Lord has been talking to you about.
Oh well, you know He's been talking.
Mm-hmm.
He has definitely been talking. God has been talking to me. We on our past few shows, they've really kind of been shows to prepare people, to get people in the right place, to get people in the right relationship with Him and all of that kind of stuff. And God says, okay, so now, you know, you're in the right relationship. You're hearing me. You're talking to me. You're understanding what I'm saying to you. And you understand what I want you to do because you're hearing me. So how do we do it? You know, I mean, we're living real lives here. We have stuff going on. And then God comes in and He says to you, yeah, but I want you to do this. So the question is, how do we really do that? Because we live life. You know, people have things that are going on, just like regular life. It doesn't even have to be that it's a problem. I mean, you're going to work. You know, you may have families. You may be in school. You may have projects that you work on. You know, we fill our time with a lot of things. And, you know, then when you have this other thing to do, and you know how God is, He doesn't usually tell you to do something that seems to be so simple.
Right.
He usually comes in and He tells you, and the truth is we know that whatever His plan is usually much greater than what He's really sharing with us anyway.
Right.
But He gives us a piece of it that's just enough so that we can be a little bit frightened of it. We know that we need Him, but yet at the same time, we have to figure out how to get this done and still live life. And at the end of the day, you're like, okay, you start your week, say, on Sunday, and you're like, so this week I'm going to make sure that I do blank towards this goal.
Right.
And
right.
You get to the next Sunday, and you're like, okay, well, that goal didn't work. And you either give yourself the same goal, or you switch the goal, thinking maybe the goal was wrong. And eventually, 2 months have passed, you haven't done anything. And, you know, you're thinking, maybe I misheard. You start having doubt. You start having a lack of faith, a lack of belief. So I want to talk to people and give them, I'm going to try to get through all 11 steps. And these are not the only steps. These are just 11 things that I thought about when I'm trying to push through. What do I do? What do I brush up on? What, you know, what are the strong things that I find are necessary in order for me to make sure that I push through? Okay?
Okay.
Because, you know, what happens with me, after I go through my day, I'm tired at the end of the day. You know,
yeah.
I really am. And sometimes, you know, I get up early enough. I don't really want to get up any earlier to do any other stuff before I go on to my other job, you know? So
right.
I believe that there are a lot of people out there in the world that are just like me. You're already getting up early in the morning, going to bed late at night, and you're exhausted. And you're wondering, how in the world am I going to get this done? And you know, I'm gonna start off by saying this. I don't know this for myself, because I have never given birth. However, I have raised a child, and I do understand that somehow the energy to do what you need to do comes. And you're just saying to yourself, thank God, because you don't know how you're going to get those dishes done. You don't know how you're going to help those kids with that homework. You don't know how you were going to get that shopping done or that laundry done, but somehow the energy came. And it is the same thing when you are working on God's plan for your life. God does not give you what you need and then say, go ahead and go do it. He waits for your faith to show up. And when you show up, then he gives you what you need. So remember that that's how God works, and that's how he works in all things. Okay?
Okay.
So here are the steps. I want to talk about the first one. And this is what, you know, this is part of my 3 steps to maximize life. You can't do anything without first being truthful. Be truthful with yourself about where you are, about where you want to go, and who you want to be.
Oh.
Okay?
That's
be truthful about it. You really have to be. You can fool other people, but you can't fool yourself. You know what's in your closet. You know what's in your mind. You know where you're lacking faith. I mean, we walk around and we tell people that we have all this great faith, and we want to. But sometimes your faith really is lacking. You know, be truthful with yourself about where you are, because when you're working on the plan for your life with God, he already knows the truth. So if you try to be, you know, 10 steps further ahead, it's never going to work, because God knows what's in your closet that can go with you to the next step and what's in your closet that can't. And there are going to be times where there's going to be things in your closet that cannot go with you to the next step.
Right.
You see what I'm
saying?
Right.
And before,
so some things go ahead.
No, before you go on, I just want to let the listening audience and the people who are going to listen to this in archive that this will be available at our website. They're used to me tweeting these things, but I'm not going to tweet the whole 11. Okay, I just wanted to let them know. Yeah, let them know that. So, okay, continue.
Okay, cool.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. And the other thing that they should know, that is not going to be a word-for-word you know, it's not going to be word for word what I'm saying here. The 11 steps will be there. But if you want to hear everything that God gives me while we're here talking about the 11 steps, you have to listen to the broadcast.
Right.
That's really important for you to know. So, you know, we all have stuff in our closet. And there are some things that, you know what, it's not going to affect where you're going. But there are other things that will affect where you're going. And when God gives you something, he gives it to you permanently. He doesn't give it to you to take it away. So he'll have you deal with those things that will be a challenge for you in a way that he doesn't want it to be a challenge for you. He's going to have you deal with now, because you always have to set the foundation for the next step. And our foundations must always be strong. So, as an example, you know, I don't mind using myself as an example, because I think that a lot of people can relate to me. I don't think that I was much different or that I am now much different from most people. I think I just managed myself differently. And when I was in my 20s, I had to admit, when I decided that I wanted to change, that I was a liar. Now, here's the thing. That's the truth, you know? And
it
I didn't tell
truth.
These big, outlandish lies. Like, I wasn't making up stuff about myself. But at the end of the day, if you're not telling the truth, you're telling a lie. And so, you know, if people would say to me, hey, you know, what do you feel about so-and-so? And the truth is that I might have been fearful about what they would have thought or felt or did if they knew the truth. So I would tell them what I knew that they wanted to hear, you know.
Absolutely.
Or somebody might say, hey, did you finish so-and-so yet? Oh, yeah, I finished that this morning. Well, I know I didn't finish it, you know. So, again, those might be things that many people are looking at and saying, well, that's no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a lie. And if you allow yourself to be okay with doing the small things that are wrong, you set the foundation for the bigger things that are wrong.
Oh,
I'll give you another example. You know, a lot of people start off using drugs by smoking weed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they say it's safe, it's natural, God gave it to us, blah, 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 blah. But for many people, weed is the foundation to heroin. weed is the foundation to crack. Weed ultimately is the foundation that gets women into prostitution, right? I mean, gets young people into drugging and that thug life and carrying guns and killing people. And that's a hard life. It gets people in jail. It all started out with hanging out with your friends on the corner smoking weed.
Right.
You see?
Right.
And you say, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Everyone's doing it. You know, it's not a problem. And the truth is that it's only your circle that's doing it. Everyone is not doing it. If you grounded yourself in the truth, you would recognize that. If you grounded yourself in the truth, you would recognize that you don't look as good as you used to. You don't take care of yourself as much as you used to. You would ground yourself in the truth. You would recognize that you are becoming more and more dependent upon this thing. And now you have this foundation that you are believing is okay, and so it allows the other stuff to come. This is what I'm talking about. Ground yourself in the truth. And then don't beat yourself up about it. Let God tell you what it is you need to correct.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Let God tell you what it is you need to correct, because you really need to allow Him to lead you. We will beat ourselves all up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we really will. So let God tell you what you need to correct. All right? That's the first one. Be truthful about where you are, who you are, where you want to get to, and who you want to be. Okay? Then, another thing that I, and then these are not in order, so I'm going to tell people that as you hear them, please, if it hits your spirit,
all right.
God is not going to tell you to do 11 things at one time. He's just not. So whatever hits your spirit, do that. Okay? Another thing that I always tell people to do, is to create an affirmation or a mission statement for yourself. Okay? Now, for those of you who are interested in doing a mission statement for yourself, I always direct people to where I created my first one, which is on Franklin Covey online. If you Google Franklin Covey Mission Statement Builder, it'll take you to it. If there is also a link provided in the document that's going to be on the Journey Home Outreach Ministries website, so you don't have to worry about remembering that. You can pick up this link and you'll be able to link yourself to it right there. But having something that is truly yours that you stand for in life is important. Okay?
Yeah.
When I first started out, long before I recognized my call or anything, I attended a couple of classes that were about how to plan your time. One was date and one with Franklin Covey. It was actually in the daytime class, not the Covey class, that I created my first mission statement. And that mission statement stayed true to me for at least 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Yeah.
This is a commitment.
And I did, without me changing it at all. And I remember one of the lines of that was that I wanted my relationship with God to be who I was, and that I would accept that anyone that was lost in the process was not really lost, but moved out of the way so that I could be who I truly am.
Ooh. Amen.
Okay. So this is why these kind of things are important. It basically is your way of saying, when you have a mission statement, it says, these are my standards. This is what I'm going to live by. It's important for people to know what their standards are. If you don't know what your standards are, then you'll fall for anything, you'll do anything, you'll be led by anything and anyone.
You're right.
Okay? You have to have standards. Many of us do have standards, but we've never seen them written down in one place. And when I talk about standards, I'm talking about things that are absolute in your life, things that you say, you know what, I will not cross the line against this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for you to have that as a person. If you're a family, it's important to have them as a family. You know, here are the things that we will not, this is how we're going to live in our family. Anything
right.
that's
right.
going to stop
that
us
way.
From living this way, we are not going to take part in. So it's important for you to do that. With regard to an affirmation is a little bit different. An affirmation is you just writing out a statement that you're affirming something that you want to be true for your life. For instance, you know, an affirmation is not something that necessarily has to be true now. It's something that you want it to, you want to be true at some point in time. So, for instance, mm-hmm. your affirmation might say, I am a multimillionaire. You're not a multimillionaire at this moment, but you have every intention to live your life to be one. Okay?
Right.
So an affirmation is the place that you want to go. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you need to do, and I would say, don't write 15,000 of them. Right? Start off with maybe just 10 sentences. And you can have as many affirmations as you want. For instance, you can have you can put them under subject if you want to. Maybe you don't want to have just a life affirmation. Maybe you want to have one that's for your family and one that's for your business, one that's for how you will work at your job. Maybe it's easier for you to separate it out that way. I want to read just a little bit of an affirmation that I have that we used in our family for many, many years, and I continue to use it now. I say to you, when you get your affirmation written down, put it everywhere. Keep one with you everywhere you go. I say put one in the bathroom, maybe frame it so that when you go mm-hmm. in there first thing in the morning, you see it and read it. It's important for you to read it and read it out loud. Get it in your head, in your psyche. You should get to the point where your affirmation is something that you can recite, because it needs to be who you are and who you're standing for. Once you have an affirmation, once you have a mission statement, what happens is you begin to align your actions to that.
Mm-hmm.
And your life begins walking in that direction. This is why it works. And then God sees this, and he starts throwing things in your direction that helps you obtain what it is that you want to obtain. We're going to talk a little bit more about how scripture plays a part in it a little bit later. My affirmation, the very first line of my affirmation is this: thank you, God, for this day and for giving me your vision and insight for my life. I recognize that your laws are sovereign and that I am subject to your laws before any other law.
Mm.
That's it.
Yes.
That's how I start my affirmation. All right. I'm already thanking him for my insight and for the vision. I'm not saying mm-hmm. God gives me the vision. I'm saying, no, thank you for giving it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize mm-hmm. that your laws are sovereign. Your laws are above any other law of the land. Your law is
right.
above that. And if I subject myself to your law, then I know that I'll obey all the other laws. I ain't worried about it. If I subject myself to your law, if I find myself in trouble, you're going to come in and you're going to help me anyway. So I'm going to subject myself to your law.
Amen.
Okay? The second line of it says, I am grateful to you for miracles. Miracles are your gift to me. Miracles are a fact in my life. I receive miracles both small and great every day. And I accept it to be true in my life. Once you start doing this and reciting these things, they become a part of who you are, and you start looking for them to happen in your life. And you start thinking about what you do subtly. Oh, you know what? That doesn't really feel right. I don't think that that's going to help me become a millionaire. I don't think that that's going to help me to grow in my wisdom toward God. I don't think that God's law tells me that this is a good thing for me. You see? So you start becoming a little bit different. All right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then the next thing which helps you is I always talk about vision board. I'm using my vision board a little bit differently right now than what I've ever used it in my life. My vision board actually says a year from today, and I created it on 9/18. I put the date in it. And all I've done is I put exactly what I feel I want my life to be every, you know, a year from now. Where is my life? And I still have some mm-hmm. blank space on it because I'm not finished with it. I really worked on me, you know what I'm saying? So I said, you know, live your best. And I, you know, I use anything, magazines and things, you know, cars or saying. Sometimes I'll type things out.
Right.
I'm really big on cards from, like, you know, you can go to the dollar store and you find cards. If I can take a picture of it and write the saying down. All right. If you want the card, take the card and put it on your vision board. I'm also good for taking cards that speak to me and framing them and having them as a picture in my house. But I have on my board, it says, live your best life, right? Successful people are just ordinary people with extraordinary motivation. I have another thing that says, receive the Holy Spirit. I always want the Holy Spirit to be there. I have pictures of my family there. I have a birthday card that was for a one-year-old, and it just inside of it, it's just like, you know, very colorful, and it says one, because I want it to be, I'm going to look at this a year from now and say, where am I? And it says, you know, there's another one that says, shake things up. You know, don't be the same. Be different. You know, I have another cartoon that says, I never look back. It distracts me from the future.
Okay.
Right? So I have all, and also the card that I saw the last time we did our show, I put a copy of it. It says, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain. I have all these things. And I just take a look at them, and, you know, I'm motivated by them. Sometimes it could be a card that someone gave you, something that someone said to you. There are things about my business on here, where I want my business to be a year from now. So you have to create a vision board for yourself that you see for you. Now, maybe you need to create one that's only for 6 months away. You know, maybe you need to do it quarterly. Maybe for you, you're okay with doing one for 2 years away. And it could be about whatever you want to be about. It's your life. But the vision board actually is kind of like taking your affirmation and your mission statement kind of and making it visual. What does your life look like? You know, I put pictures of my family smiling and happy. You know, I don't put pictures of somebody at a funeral. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Right? I use colors that make me feel good, that make me feel energetic. I want to be drawn to it, and I want to have a certain feeling when I look at it. There's scripture that really just makes me feel empowered, and so that's going to be on the board. So what is it what that you want to see? What's the mood of your life a year from now? What kind of things do you want to do? And don't put it in the tense of it's not accomplished yet. Put it in the tense of this is where I am. Make it present tense. Same thing with your affirmation. Make it present tense. With your mission statement, make it present tense. It should not be past.
All right?
So do your vision board. The next thing, control your time. Okay, this is one of the greatest helps for anyone out there, because we always hear people say, where did the time go? Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this, right? But you have to control your time. Keep track of your time. I tell people, if you've never actually tracked your time, just get a small notebook or index card or something and keep it with you all the time and just write down what you're doing, okay, throughout the day, and do that for like a week. You'll be surprised at the things time on. You'll be surprised at how much time you spend in traffic or you spend on a bus, right, or some other mode of public transportation. You'll be surprised how much idle time you spend watching television and how much time you spend on the phone with friends just, like, talking about nothing. You'll be surprised, and you'll find that you actually have time. There's time. You know, time that could be devoted to your family, time that could be devoted to your new business, time that you could be devoted to prayer, time that could be devoted to school, educating yourself. There's time that could be devoted to many things. Think of it this way. Many of us, you know, many people are living tightly financially, right?
Yes.
But how many people will buy something and say, what was I spending that money on before? Right? I remember when Frank and I bought our house, and we were like, how the heck, you know, what were we spending all that money on before? Because we sure as heck weren't saving it.
No, right.
You know? How many people go from having a car payment to not having a car payment to having a car payment? Okay?
Oh, yes.
And you don't have a car payment, and then you get a car payment, and you're suddenly paying that money out. But you don't have that extra money coming in. And you say, what was I doing with this money before?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
It's the same thing with your time. Take a look at your time for a week. All right? I actually have a form. I'll try to get it to you by the week that people can use. But seriously, just use a pad, an index card, and just use that. Keep track of your time. Are you doing with your time?
Actually write down what you're doing with your time.
Yes,
make an account.
Actually write it down. You know,
okay.
6 a.m. blank, 7 a.m. But you might even do well. You can go online and you can download, you know, a page from an appointment book or something like that and actually use the empty appointment slot. If you have Microsoft
mm-hmm.
Word, I'm sure that they have some, or even Excel, I'm sure that they have some kind of,
yes.
you know, template for that. Just take those slots and actually write out your time. Fill in what you're doing in all that time. You'll be surprised, okay?
You will.
And then I say start using a planner to plan out your time, okay? It doesn't matter if it's electronic or if it's paper. You just have to find one that works for you. And then once you decide on a planner, use it for at least 90 days before you decide it doesn't work. Because why? It takes 90 days to create a habit. So use it for 90 days before you say that it doesn't work. If you need instruction on how to use it, go to YouTube. There are a lot of people that are planners like myself that love to talk about their planner, that truthfully getting a new planner is a highlight in their life. It is for me, truthfully. I love it. And they show you how they use their planner. It doesn't mean you have to use it the way they use it, but there will be tips and tricks in what they do that you might want to adopt for yourself. Use your planner
exactly.
and plan everything that you do. Block out your prayer time, your Bible study, work time, time with kids, time traveling. And you should see some blank spaces at some point. Don't overload yourself with stuff to do because you're going to need the ability to breathe or change. Move things from one place to another. Sometimes you might finish a project, but you might need to write something out or file something away. You need to do this. So use a planner. Along with that, keep a daily to-do list. Some people are not ready for a planner. Everybody is ready for a to-do list. Okay, everyone.
No. To-do list.
Yes. Your to-do list should have everything that you need to accomplish for that day. And then you should also have a running list of things that you want to do at another time. It doesn't matter when, just that you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. When you need to complete something, write it down on your list. But
right.
every day, you should make a daily to-do list every day. And as you complete those items, cross it off. I get joy in crossing it off.
Yeah. That feels good. It feels good.
Because at the end of the day, you look at that to-do list, and you're like, oh, I did that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And once you like a to-do list, you will start liking a planner because a planner gives you a little bit more. A planner tells you, here are the appointments you have that day, here are the things you need to do, and then it gives you space to write, you know, here are a few things that I need to remember or things that happened or here I need to keep track of money that I spent, however you want to use your planner, right? But definitely at least do a daily to do this. The other thing is use Post-its. Okay? I love Post-its. But let me tell you a new way that I'm using it right now.
Okay.
I have one major goal of the week every week. And just like everything else, I want to keep it in front of me. And so I'll write that goal of the week and I'll put it on my bathroom mirror so that when I get up in the morning and I'm getting myself together, I see that that is my goal.
Okay.
Once you complete the goal, you can remove it and put a new one up. Don't put 10. Because you won't do it.
I was just thinking that, right. No, you won't.
You won't do it.
You get overwhelmed.
Yeah. you need to have one. I'm not saying that you only do one thing in a week, but you have to have one major goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And maybe you might want to attach it for people who need to attach it to something. Maybe you need to attach that goal to something in your life. So, for instance, as a business person, I have a major goal that I want to accomplish this week. Next week, maybe I want to have a major goal that I want to accomplish as an aunt. The week after
mm-hmm.
that, maybe I want to have a major goal that I want to accomplish as a daughter.
Right.
After that, I might want to have a major goal that I accomplish as, what is the goal that you want to accomplish this week? What is the area of your life that needs the most work right now? Make sure that
right.
you put that major goal and put it on a post-it. And I also have a little chalkboard that is right by my desk. I'll put it there also.
Okay.
Okay. But use post-its, right? Now, with regard to your time, guard your time. You're number 7, by the way. Guard your time. Don't allow interruptions to stop you from being on track. Now, for those of you who have family, you may need to start saying to your family, to your husband, to your children, listen, when I go in here and I close the door, you know, I cannot be interrupted. I'm going to be in prayer. I'm going to be in Bible study. I'm going to be working on my project. I'm going to be working on my goal. It would be nice to give them a heads up. So maybe, you know, wherever you keep your family planner, you're going to put, you know, this is my time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This 1 hour, this 1 hour is all I'm asking, my time. And then you go in that area, and when they come to the door, you open the door, and they're going to ask you for something silly, and you're going to say, is this mommy's time or is this daddy's time? Yes, it is. Then you
right.
have to wait, or either you have to figure it out.
Right.
They will learn,
right.
they will learn to respect your time. Same thing at
mm-hmm.
work. When you are at work and you're supposed to be working on a project and someone comes in just to chit-chat, that's not the time for you to chit-chat. That's the time for you to work on your project. And so you say to
mm-hmm.
them, listen, John, listen, Sue, I'm really sorry I don't have time to talk right now. I have to work on this project. If you come back at 3, though, I'll have about 15 minutes. Does that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. People will start respecting your time. Okay? Make
right.
sure, guard your time. When the phone rings, let it ring. If you're supposed to
mm-hmm.
be in prayer or writing or studying, whatever it is, when the phone rings, let it ring. As a matter of fact, if you can turn the ringer off, turn it off. Now,
right.
only turn it off if you're going to remember to turn it back on.
Yeah.
But if you actually have a phone in your home, or maybe it is just your cordless. Maybe you need to, your cell phone. Maybe you need to put it in a different room so that you don't hear it and it doesn't distract you as much. But do not pick
mm-hmm.
up the phone when you're supposed to be doing something. Guard your time. Do what you
mm-hmm.
set out to do. Remain focused. Be diligent about remaining focused. And do not apologize for it.
No.
Okay? That one hour time might be the time that you're setting aside because you just need to relax for an hour.
Right, right.
You
need to unplug.
This is what you need to do to make sure that you are a whole and complete person. And there's nothing more that anyone needs from you in your life than for you to be whole and complete. When you are at your
mm-hmm.
job, when you are with your family, no matter who you are with, they want you whole and complete. Trust me. Right? So do what you need to do to safeguard your time and do what you need to do for that. And then reward yourself. Okay? All accomplishments
mm-hmm.
deserve a reward. Now, let me tell you something. Because you have learned how to use a planner doesn't mean you get to go and go on a 5-star vacation. Okay? Your reward needs to be appropriate. Now,
okay.
again, for those of you who have families, here's what I suggest that you do. I suggest that you create a family goal board, okay? Everybody gets a goal for the week. And if they complete their goal, they get a reward. So maybe the reward will be 15 minutes extra of game time, 15 minutes extra of TV time. Or maybe you'll decide that as a family, if everybody completes their goal, we're going to order pizza. You know, what is the reward going to be? Because you know what? You teach your children how to set goals and rewards and be focused, I mean, laser focused on a goal, which is what they need to be able to accomplish things in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You teach your family how to do that. And then what happens as a process, as a family, part of your mission statement becomes that we will honor each other's time. Right? So it all
right.
works together. It all works together. Right? Now, here's the part that I was going to talk about. This is number 9. About aligning your goals with prayer and scripture. Okay? Sometimes it's hard for people to do that because a lot of times our goals are tangible. You know, I want a car, I want a house, I want a vacation, I want money. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
people have difficulty aligning their goals with scripture. Now, mind you, there's scripture for all of that. Okay?
Right. Yes.
It's more important for you to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. Aligning it with scripture will come if you just put that task to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm going to say that again. It's more important for you to be hearing God and understanding what it is your goals are. It's more important for you to know what your goals are and just start doing those. If you need to align them with prayer and you don't know where to go or how, just put that to prayer and God will make it happen for you.
Okay.
Okay? My affirmation is laced with scripture. Because
okay.
what I did was I took scripture and I personalized it. And I made it for
yes.
me.
Right. You know,
and then,
these
go ahead.
No, that's what God wants you to do.
It's as simple
yes,
as that. You take it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, there are going to be people who are listening to this that don't know a lot of scripture. And that's why I'm saying this. Don't get caught up with feeling that you need to go learn a lot of scripture in order to create these affirmations. Because this is about writing down what you heard from God, not writing down the scripture you learned.
Right.
Okay? Write down what you heard from God. He will lead you to the scripture that supports it. If you know that God gave it to you, you don't have any reason at all to not have faith with it.
Absolutely.
So go with that first. That's very important. It's most important for you to understand God ranks here. What he
yes.
says to do ranks. It's
mm-hmm.
not about what scripture
okay.
you know. You may never learn scripture, but you'll know what God told you to do. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, God
mm-hmm.
uses anybody. And if you learn how to hear him and to do what it is that he asks you to do, you will live the kingdom of God right here on earth. Get yourself together, align yourself with him so that you are where you need to be when you're supposed to be there, and then you're able to be blessed accordingly because your blessings show up where you're supposed to be.
Right.
Don't spend a lot of time on things that you don't need to be worried about. Scripture is
Amen.
Not your gift. Don't worry about it. That's
mm-hmm.
not your gift. Don't worry about it. God will get you what you need. Just know
mm-hmm.
what it is that you need, that what you need to be moving toward, all right? The next
all
part
right.
is number 10. And number 10 is to educate yourself. Now, when I say educate yourself, go to school, sure. If you have the ability to do that, sure. But that's not what I'm talking about. We have the internet. The internet is, oh my goodness, filled with information. So blogs, there are free books available, magazines, talking to people who've already done what you've done, getting
right.
yourself someone that can help coach you and hold you accountable. All those things are very, very important. I really want to talk about the idea of education because people I think that people shortchange themselves when it comes to education. when we say the word education, we automatically assume that what everyone is talking about is going to traditional school. Now, I'm going to tell
right.
you, going to a traditional school is important. If you can do that, absolutely you're going to do that. Of course. Okay? That's not always feasible for all people at all times.
Right.
So if that's the case, but even if you are going to traditional school, you still need to maintain your education because traditional school is not necessarily going to teach you all the things that you need to know about the places that God has taken.
Right.
Okay? Now, God can use all of the things that you learn. The more you learn, the more he has the ability to use. Okay? But there
mm-hmm.
might be certain
mm-hmm.
things that he needs you to read, or certain people he needs you to talk to, certain programs he needs you to watch in order to gain information and a clearer understanding, and sometimes the confirmation of what he has said to you. Okay?
Mm.
This is why
mm-hmm.
I'm very careful about, and then this is something that he's done with me the past 6 months. Not the idea of being careful about what Christian programming I'm watching, but I'm only watching certain programs right now because only certain people, he's only led me to certain people. And there are a lot
right.
of fantastic people out there with wonderful shows and fantastic things to say. Okay?
Yes.
Many of them.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
that's not who he has speaking to me right now.
Right.
He has other people, and it's really only really one in particular who is speaking to me very strongly, that God has me saying, yes, I want you to listen to him, Kim, because this is what I want you to learn. This is what I want you to understand. This is what I want you to teach. This is what I want people to know. And this is where
right.
you need to be right now. Don't worry about that other stuff. I've got other people handling that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. You know, you'll be surprised when you just do a search, you know, on the internet and for a particular topic. For instance, if time management is the place that you're lacking, if you do a search for time management, you will get page upon page upon page. It is amazing.
Yes.
If you
yes.
put in a search for planning your time, if you put in, you know, anything that, I mean, page upon page, people are obsessed with it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But go ahead and go through it, and you will begin to learn things. You'll begin
mm-hmm.
to learn things. So you'll be very, very surprised about what you can learn. Read people's blogs, and when you find one that speaks to you, follow it.
Right.
Because when something speaks to you, it's speaking to your spirit. Your spirit only accepts what God wants it to. Okay?
Exactly.
Know that your spirit is guarded by God. It can only accept the truth. It's not going to accept anything that's false for you.
Amen.
Okay? If something is false for you, you're going to feel it. Now, you can choose to accept something that's false for you, but you will also feel uneasy and uncomfortable and frustrated and things won't work properly because you're feeding yourself something that is not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to share that when you're doing something or involved in something that is untruth, you know, the reason why we accept untruth is because we are afraid of believing what God says. And we're basically saying,
right.
I'm not so sure about this thing that God said. And it's not usually because you're unsure about God, but it's usually because you're unsure about him believing it for you.
Right.
If he were believing it for someone else, you wouldn't have a problem with it. But because he's believing it for you, that's where your issue lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God feels that we are all great. He created us all to be great. He created us all with purpose. He created us all to have a fantastic life. You know, I mean, you either have to believe it or you don't believe it. And that's a part of, number one, grounding yourself in your truth. What do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
What do you not believe? Do
You're
you
right.
believe that God really does have a wonderful life plan for you? Do you believe that you really can live the kingdom of God on earth? Either you do or you don't. Because you might have to work with some foundational stuff.
Right.
Okay? number 11, and this, number 11 is the one that catches us all. It really, really does. Be willing to move forward even if you do not have the support of others.
Yes.
Be unapologetic about moving forward when you know that you know that you know that you are doing something that God has told you to do. Do not apologize for it. Do it. They may not agree with it. They may not like it. They may try to stop you. A lot of things will probably come against you. Do what God said anyway, and do not apologize for it.
Absolutely.
Okay? If you're called to something, many people are not going to understand it anyway. And trust me when I tell you, a lot of the people that won't understand it are going to be your family and friends because they see you in a particular light. They do not see you the way God sees you. The Bible tells us that Jesus could not perform many miracles where he came from. Why? Because people saw him as Mary and Joseph's son. They did not understand why he suddenly believed that he was this phenomenal teacher.
Right.
Here's the other thing. Think of it this way. Jesus has had sisters and brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear about a whole lot of them following him.
No.
All right? Think about
right.
that. You hear about James.
But
where are the sisters that follow him? Okay? In your family, amongst your set of friends, if you've been entrenched in this family and entrenched with this group of friends for a particular period of time, you will not easily be able to have them to accept that you want to be greater than who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing that you have to understand. This is the crab in the bucket mentality, okay? When you start doing things extra for you, when you start believing something different for you, it's not that people are opposed to you. It's that people are opposed to how it makes them feel about them. Because when they start seeing you moving up, they start saying, well, why aren't I doing that? Why aren't I moving up? Why aren't I bigger? Why am I not greater? That's what they start seeing.
Mm.
You see? It's not really because you're moving up and you're doing anything. It's because they're not.
Mm-hmm. They're stuck.
It doesn't have anything to do with you. And so what they want to do is pull you back and remind you of who you are. This is when you get people who will remind you of the things that you used to do in the dark. People that remind you of the sins and the bad stuff and how you used to do this and you used to do that. And this is the reason why often when you start taking steps for yourself, especially when you're making leaps and bounds above, you know, you're doing more for yourself than what you've ever done before, and you're really graduating and moving and progressing to places, these people can't come with you. And let me tell you something. This is true no matter what group or you were part of. Many people are part of some great organizations, some great groups, some great people doing wonderful things in life. You know, many people have many college-educated friends that are going to work great jobs, doing good things, have homes. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about, you know, this is not all about trying to get up from the gutter. No, I'm talking about people just living ordinary, everyday life. When you step out from the group and you start doing something different and you shake things up a bit, it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it
does.
It is a problem. And they want you to come back and make them feel comfortable in their space. Because if you step out, it says that there's something more in the group than what the group is, and they start feeling that there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them.
Right.
You're just moving out on your call for your life. If your spirit is screaming, yes, do this, move forward, move right now, do what the spirit says.
That
don't
is
worry
so
about
important.
Anybody else around you. I can't tell you how important that is, because most people do not succeed because they listen to the people around them. Most people do not succeed because they're afraid. I'm not going to have my friends with me when I get there. You don't realize that God has it all in control. Maybe these friends won't be there. Maybe they'll meet up with you a little bit later when they've dealt with some stuff and they've graduated and they've moved on. Maybe they will come along with you and be okay, but maybe they won't. But trust me, when you take your next few steps, God will have other people there waiting, other friends that are going to be better friends, and better because they're going to be okay with the new you that you're presenting. When people deal with people who have addiction, they tell them, don't go back to that old group. Don't go back to that group of people that you used to get high with. Don't
exactly.
go back to that group of people that you used to drink with. Don't go back to the club that you used to hang out in. Why do they tell them that? Because they're doing the same thing that they were doing, the thing that you're trying to get away from. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get away from it if you keep being in it? That's why. So sometimes you can't bring the same old with you. That's, again, why you have to cut yourself in the truth. Part of the truth. What is the stuff that I'm doing that is not right? Why? Because sometimes that stuff can't come with you on your journey. When Jesus sent people out to the town, let me back up a little bit and talk about the story, and then we're going to end.
Okay.
During the time that Jesus was going from town to town and he was teaching, he was a great prophet, a great teacher. The thing that you have to understand about that time period is that there were many great prophets and great teachers, and they walked from place to place and they taught. This is what they did for how they lived. They taught. And the people that followed them, they considered that to be a school. And they would go from this town and that town, and they would follow them. But they would also send people ahead of them, like ambassadors, to go out
right.
and to talk about their teacher and to make so that they can make room for the fact that they were coming. They would get the people ready for the lesson that was to come. Okay? And so when Jesus sent people out, he sent them out two by two, and he sent them with nothing. And he says, don't
right.
take anything with you, because wherever
nothing.
You're welcome, you're going to have everything that you need. And if they don't welcome you, shake the dust off your feet and walk away.
Right.
This is what this message says to us today. As you move forward according to where God is sending you, you feel like you're being sent forward unprepared with nothing. And you're thinking to yourself, when I get there, what the heck am I going to do? I'm just going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know and trust that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as Jesus sent his people out into the town, and there were people to welcome them and to feed them and to let them stay overnight and to give them a place where they can get clean and comfortable and rest, God will have all the provisions for you and go where he wants you to go. You're not
Absolutely.
Going to see it before you step. Because if you saw it before you step, faith would not be required. This is why you cannot have faith. You cannot please God without faith. Because everything you do in God, you have to do it in faith. If he says,
right.
I want you to go here, don't worry about it. Just go there. Because when you get there, you're going to have what you need. And before you get there, you're going to receive everything you need in order to get there. See, all you need to do is set yourself in the direction of going, and then everything else will fall into place. And as you hear him saying to you, turn left, turn right, pick this up, put that down, do those things, because it's the preparation of what will be necessary when you get where you're going. He's establishing your foundation as you move. And the greater your faith, the faster your stride. when you know that you know that you know that God is with you, not only where you are but where you're going, you will sprint there.
Right.
See, the time it takes is just a matter of the maturity of your faith. It may have taken somebody else 10 years, but it might only take you 3 months. It's a matter of your faith. So don't even try to calculate the time that it's going to take you because it took someone this amount of time. It could be very different for you because your faith is different. Your resources are different. The way you're moving and shaking with God is different. Just keep that in mind. Don't let anything stop you. Don't worry about the naysayers. Just keep on going. And that's the end. That's the end. Just keep on going. Like I said, these 11 steps are going to be available online later this week. You have to listen to the entire radio show in order to hear how the Spirit moves within the 11 steps. But I really hope this encourages somebody and that, you know, they really just take, you know, one or two of these things and they start implementing them into their everyday life.